or should I?
Use this.
Go on. And so, yeah.
Good morning, MCLCC.
Good morning. Wonderful. I mean, it's nice to see, you know, you here this morning again, and let me pray. Dear God, again, we give thanks to you for this beautiful day, and we give thanks to you for this wonderful season that you allow us to enjoy the blue sky, enjoy the green grass, and enjoy the hot water. Lord, I ask that you be with us as we go through your word, and pray that your spirit will prepare for us, and knowing that, you know, we are a child of you, and this is who we are, and what you want us to do, Lord, I pray that you'll be with us. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. So,
before I start, let us read this passage together. It's from Psalm 139:14. You know, it said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, we praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's just not simply, you just, you know, put things together. No, it's fearfully and wonderfully made. And your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So this morning's the topic is evolve. Evolve or involve, yeah. Evolution by mere chance, or the involvement of the love of God. Evolution by mere chance, or the involvement of the loving God. This is my sermon topic this morning. But however, I am not speaking on the nuts and the bolts of the evolution and creation. If you want to know, I recommend you to go to www.reasonstobelieve.org or www.icl.org. You know, those are a very good website. I'll send it to Terrain, and then, you know, he'll forward to you. Then you can get a lot of information about all the nuts and bolts on creation or an evolution as well. Evolve or involve, does it matter? Yeah. In my opinion, it does matter. If you look through the lens of pure materialistic evolution, you see no God. There's no God over there. Life is nothing but an accident. No meaning, no purpose. The story of life starts with arbitrary formation of matters and genetic mutation, right? And then with millions of years, and then countless random trial and error. It's a trial and error, right? Until it comes one, actually it works. During the journey, a lot of things doesn't work. That's why, you know, you say survival for the fetus, right? It is a pure matter of luck. And after the formation of humanity, then they have to struggle to survive, right? And then with the fetus to give birth to the next generation. This is how it works for evolution. If pure evolution has any message at all within it, perhaps the only message is it carries no message whatsoever. There's no message of it. But the Bible tells us God creates everything. This is my first point. Yeah. God creates everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you look through the lens of creation, life is no longer a minus accident, right? It's not an accident, right? It is a marvelous incident. In the beginning, God, which means that He is before the creation. God is before the creation. He exists before any elements, any molecules, any universe, any planet, and of course, any living things. The Bibles say that God spoke the creation into existence, spoke into that. I don't know how to imagine that, but, you know, this Bible simply say that, you know, God spoke into that with the language of the Bible. Actually, how it happened, I don't think we have a clue. Yeah. And within the Bible, this is what it said, right? It spoke into the creation, into existence, out of His command and by His will. Yeah. That means He's above and beyond all creation. He does not need anything to create it. he does not do, I mean, he does not need energy, any material. Yeah. And he's not part of the creation. We cannot describe how God can create a world because it is beyond our imagination, beyond our language. There are people who read the Bible like a science book. There are people who like that, right? Different stage, you know, how things you know, should work. But the Bible is not a science book. Never, never. It is a love story between God and man. If you read it with the language of science, you will not get it right. Imagine that, you know, if you read, you know, a love story and then dissect, you know, how loves occur, how the reaction occur, you know, how the, because, you know, it is the secretion of the hormone. And no, it won't. Yeah. You read it with the language of science, you will not get it. My professor in the Bible school said that creation in the Bible is the only setting the stage, give you the hindsight, give you, you know, the big picture. The stage unfold the drama of love and covenant between God and man. I mean, I've been to some musical, right? I mean, when you look at a musical, you listen to the song, you listen to the, you hear the story. Not exactly the costume, not exactly, you know, how real, you know, the costume. I mean, So that's the case. Same for the Bible. The stage is unfold the drama and love and covenant between God and man. The Bible never focuses on how the world is created, but it tells us why. Let me repeat it. The Bible never focuses on how the world is created. Bit by bit, never talk about it. But why? Why the world, you know, is created? Why God created heaven and earth? In Isaiah 45, 18, it said, "He who fashioned and made the world, he found it, and he did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited." So that's the purpose for it. He created this world for who? For us. Yeah. God created the earth to be inhabited in order to nourish lives, in order for us to enjoy it, in order to form our story, to go our journey. Everything is put together with the intention to make us live, to make us live and multiply. So for those, you know, who are planning to get married, or for those, you know, who got married already, you have work to do. It's for us, you know, to have children, for us to enjoy, to nourish, for us to raise a second generation. So God speaks to humans through two books, the scripture and nature. Let me repeat it. God speaks to us through two books. One is the text. It's in paper, in words. It's called the Bibles. And the other sometimes through the nature. Yeah. Through the surrounding. When we see the mountain, when we see the tree, when we see the insect. Right? Take for example our solar system. The earth is placed in such a way that any deviation from the existing position, that will be disastrous. Right? Too close to the sun, what happened? Then will be cold, like a microwave. Too far away from it, it will be odd. It will become, you know, popsicle. It's too cold for us. Nobody can live. Nobody can live on that. So the earth acts is in such an angle to protect us from the cooking of us, you know, like a TV dinner in microwave. So shield from us for that. The atmosphere, protect us from this harmful ultraviolet light. Yeah. And the earth spins in such a way so that we have four seasons. We have what? The spring, the summer, now we're, you know, enjoying it, and the fall, the beautiful color, and the winter. Some people like it, some people don't. Right? And many others with a single purpose is to sustain life for us to live here. Right? But if you look through the lens of pure evolution, the earth is nothing but just a laboratory. It's, you know, continue to work for human genetic experiment. Only the fittest, only the best can survive. And there's no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no reason, nothing. You have to find how we can survive, how we struggle. So God created everything, and God is also behind everything. This is my second point. God is behind everything. God never stopped after Genesis. I mean, you know, God created, gave us life, and that's it. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to go to vacation. I'm going to spend time in Hawaii. No, God is always with us and behind everything, right? In fact, the creation is not just one single incident, not a poem. It's a continuation. It's not that God finish it and then take a step back and relax and watch the drama unfold. Instead, it continues to be the protector and the upholder of the creation. We take ownership of the creation. And the Bible says that all things are created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, in Him, all things hold together. And again, in Hebrews 1:3, He says, sustaining all things by powerful words. This translates into a theologian called the common grace, what we call the common grace. And it is a technical concept taught in Bible school that we are enjoying everything. But what is common grace? Three things within the common grace I can share with you this morning. It means God is providing for the creation. God is providing for the creation. Jesus reminded people in Matthew 5:45. He said, He causes the sun to rise to the evil and the good, and send rain to the righteous and unrighteous. Well, I mean, for the past few days, we feel the heat, and we look at the grass, it's getting dry. What do we need? We need rain. The farmer will need the rain, right? And after each winter, the snow melts. When the snow melts, there's water, and we need the water. Right. So God continues to give us the water, the nutrient, everything, right? And the Bible says that everything, say it very clear right here. God continues to care to the whole world through the supporting the nature. Give us rain, give us temperature, give us the sunshine, and give everything. That becomes photosynthesis. But the plan that we can feed the cattle, we can feed the pig, we can feed the chicken. And with the chicken and all the meat, then we can enjoy it. So God continues to provide for the creation. That's Him. And number two, God is protecting. God is protecting the creation as well. God does it through the control of the scene and its effect. If God is not protecting, the scene will run wild. And it will be a very difficult place for us to live here. So it's done through the government. And I don't know whether you vote for the provincial. Doesn't matter which party you vote, but this is your obligation. God gave us this structure, and that's why we have to do our responsibility as a citizen to choose the government and allow the government to govern us. So we're giving this authority to the government so that they can do things for us. And this is what in place. And in Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, the authorities that exist has been as established by God in country like Canada. God encourage all us to participate in the government. Some of you are still too young to vote, but as you grow up, remember that privilege, remember that responsibility, remember the obligation. Do so accordingly. And this is the reason why the church I served in the past, they always encourage and remind people to vote. Yeah. And for some other country, the participation is more in a more confrontational style. People protest. People, they do things because, it's a very, very, very suppressing situation. So, and there are times God also intervene certain situation, like the release of Peter from jail. And the uprising of the government. So as you look at it, God continues to protect and preserve the creation. And number three, God is preserving the creation. God is preserving the creation. God does that through man's conscience. How does he, what's the conscience? Both the non-Christian and the Christian. I mean, we all have this, right or wrong, a sense of moral in our heart. Right, when we see, people get hurt, we feel for them. Right, when we look at people that get drowned, we always try our best to help them. When you see an accident on the road, you will stop and look at what happened. And you see people get hurt, you will try your best to help. This is our conscience. It's very natural.
Yeah.
So the Bible says that their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. That's in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. And there are many times when we come close to the finite whether we should cross or not. To be or not to be, we should do it or not, right? At the company, right? When we see things, should we take it and put it back in the home, right? When somebody, you know, when you're a student, particularly university, when people offer you exam paper, right? You pay $100, then you get an A+. Do you want to get it or not? You struggle. That's just a conscience that, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, you have that as well. But of course, I mean, you know, the more if you let go of the conscience, of course, then you become a different, you know, people. You become a different person. So, and the self-conscious help us to keep our sense of moral, so that our society will not become totally corrupted. Common grace that tell us God is behind everything. He continues to uphold and protect His creation by keeping the nature, by giving us the sunshine, the rain, by controlling the seas, by fostering man's moral conscience. When you look through the lens of creation, there's help, there's security, there's right and there's wrong, and there's comfort. And none of this will happen if you look through the lens of evolution. Because, you know, we're going to make up our own rules as we go. Most important is we can survive. Most important is we're happy. Most important, you know, is we get ahead. None of those matter. There's no right. There's no wrong.
Yeah.
There's no sacrifice. No need to sacrifice. Why? Under the lens of evolution. So God creates everything. God is behind everything. But the most exciting news is God is coaching. God is our mentor. God is coaching each and every one of us.
Yeah.
God is coaching each and every one of us. I remember Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is, you know, is a past U.S. president, right? 10 years ago, he came here, you know, for a fundraising event, right? And you know how much, you know, if you want to join the dinner? So each, you know, plate costs you $2,500 Canadian, right? $2,500 Canadian. And that, when I read the newspaper, you know, it's too expensive. You couldn't go. Our church couldn't send me. But it's packed, right? And there's an auction in the event that Bill Clinton will be the tour guy. He's gonna, you know, tour with you. And then how much gonna cost you to join a tour? Give a guess. How much gonna cost you to join a tour? Huh? It's $250,000. $450,000. Back then, it's a house. $250,000, you can buy a house. But you can only join the tour, right? Think about Mr. Clinton, right? Ex-president of the United States, right? Who cheated on his wife. Right, have an affair with a White House intern, and he's the second president to be impeached. People still want to pay $250,000 to get close to him. Then what if God, the president of this universe, he knocked on your door and asked to be your personal trainer, your personal mentor, to be your trusted friend, and he has a genuine interest in you. He has designed a mentorship program for you, and it's only for you, and you want to invest his time, his life in you. Let's go back to the Old Testament. David, one of his many protege of God. And this is, you know, what he said in Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you search me and you know me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my thoughts. If I rise on the wing of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. even if I settle on the far side of the sea.
Yeah.
And your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. For you create my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You knit me, you put things together in my mother's womb.
Right.
God created David, and God mentored him personally. Okay, let's look at the life of David. Look at his resume. Right? He was involved in a hostile takeover in a teenage state. Right? And he defeated Peter, the very powerful company by the name of Philistine. Right? And his chief strategist is by the name of Goliath, the big guy. Right? And then, after that, what happened? He befriended with the royal family. Right? And because, you know, of his musical talent. But it's not Elton John. Right? And he got into trouble because he became too well known, too famous, like too many likes. Right? And too many followers in the Twitter account, and got into trouble when it became too well known, right? And too many fans and too many likes. His faith in even King Saul was jealous at his popularity and put a death threat on him. And he has to go, he has to run into exile and then change his career to become a bouncer. The bouncer, you know, for the restaurant and, you know, for the bar. A protector for the shepherd, and then eventually rose up to become a warlord in the Middle East. But when he retired, his business card was printed, Prime Ministry of Israel. He became, you know, the King of Israel. He didn't receive any Nobel Prize of Peace, but he was one of the most remembered Prime Minister of Israel. We can see the footprint of God all over David's life. We can see the footprint of God all over David's life. God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint him when he was a kid, and got him, gave him the boldness to face a giant and won. But God also gave him the righteous not to kill the king Saul. But God also sent him the prophet Nathan to confront his deed of adultery and murder. He murdered somebody. He his affair with somebody else, someone else's wife. God confront him. This is, you know, and send him, you are the one. You did this. Right? God created David and give him a great plan for him in his ups and also in his downs. In his rich and his poor. In his good and his bad. God also created all of us here. And it's a custom design. That is why the Bible says, for you create my inmost being. You knit me together. Just like, you know, for those who enjoy knitting, you know, put things together and become a jacket, become a vest, you know, become, you know, a sweater. Right? So God created everything. God is behind everything. God is coaching each of us. What does that mean to us? At least four areas I can think of that give us a great impact on our lives. When we understand them, life is no longer just a game of aimless survival, but a journey of royal blessing. Instead of, you know, survival of the fittest, no, then we become a journey of royal blessing. Number one, we all look for our identity, right? But imagine that if I tell you that your identity is dignified by God, you're not nobody. You're not just somebody in grade 3, grade 5, grade 7, and then struggle, you know, for all the tests. And, you know, in weekend, you have to go to Chinese school. No, no longer than that. Yeah. And you're not just a manager, a worker, no. Somebody, you know, in office. No, you're more than that. Your identity, our identity is dignified. Yeah. I shall never forget, you know, when I heard, you know, from the CBC radio, a program many, many years ago. One of the speakers is Dr. James Obrinsky. He was the director of Doctors Without Borders, a human organization. This is what he said on the radio program. A little girl, about 9 years old, told me through an interview how he escaped the murder at the hands of the killing squad. He told me that, I quote, My mother hit me in the toilet. I saw through the hole. I watched them hit my mother with the machete, the big knife.
Right.
I watched my mother's arm falling into my father's blood on the floor. And I cried without noise, without making any sound in the toilet. And during the time it was happening in Rwanda, I think we all know about that terrible massacre. I mean, yeah. And the Tutsi and the Tutsi and the Hutu Hutus and were being butchered in a systematic and also, you know, national. People were killed in their homes after being assembled in churches and school and hospital in bus and then marched to the mass grave, where they were not shot but have their hands and feet cut off, bleeding to death and being unable to climb out of the big hole, the grave that people dug out for them. People often beg or pay to have their kids shot. Think about that as a parent. How are you gonna have pay somebody to have your kill, to have somebody to shot, I mean to shoot your kid, because they don't want their kid to suffer from the wound, the bleeding. It's a painful death, right? And I pray to God that, you know, I never have to face the situation as a parent. In that time, over 1 million people die in Rwanda over the 12-week period. And there's a movie coming out from here. It's called Hotel Rwanda. So go, I mean, yeah, then you will know what happened. Yeah. So the doctor said that, you know, from that, I have tried to persuade, you know, the Hutus commander to take us and let the children cross the front line and go to the camp. Yeah. And during the conversation, I asked him if he has children, right, the commander. He told me that he's a father of four. He also wanted to tell me, these children, right, those he's going to kill, they're not people, they're just insects. He said, they are the prisoner of the war and will be crushed like insects. But when you see through the lens of evolution, right, what can say that they're doing anything wrong, right? They were always the oppressed one. They're always elected out. They're always undermined and discriminated against. So this is a chance to fight back. It's only in June 1994. It was the window of the opportunity to be selected in. They become the fittest to survive. There's no dignity, there's no moral, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just pure matter of survival. In fact, there's no need for all this, because what matters most is to be selected in. Survival of the fittest. Those who are not fitted will be extinct, will be selected out. That's what we call evolution. But in God's world, it's a different picture. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1:27, so God created man and also women in his own image, in the image of God that he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are the bearer of the divine image. We all do. We carry the image of God, and that gives us the dignity. We are the bearer of the divine image. And we all have a glimpse of God in ourselves. I can see a glimpse of God in all of you, and I hope, and I'm sure that you see a glimpse of God in me as well. As a bearer of the divine image, then we have a moral free will. We have a sense of right or wrong. We have a moral sense. We long for God. We appreciate beauty. We are hunger for the knowledge. We want to pursue goodness. We want to know the truth. We want to sympathize. Yeah. And we can sympathize and we can empathize. There are things that we can do that make us different from the rest of the creation. Right? Psalm 8:5, it said, you make me a little lower than the heavenly beings and crown him with glory and honor. Let me read it to you. You make him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crown him with glory and honor. So this is our royal identity, being a bearer of the divine image. a little lower than the heavenly things. We are not just a zero, a zip. No. You are not just, you know, somebody in grade 3. No. Or grade 5. You are not somebody in a big corporation. No. You bear the image of God. Yeah. In the scheme of natural selection, yeah, no. You're nothing. You just go there and survive. Yeah. But in the scheme of creation, then you become a bearer of the image of God. A dignified identity that we should all be proud of. Number two, our days are energized. What's energized? You feel energy, right? As I prepared a sermon, I was stuck in a point that I cannot get through. What do you mean by my days are energized, right? So, think about that. As I go through it, I stuck in a point, and I don't know what to do. But suddenly, God gave me this. God gave me this. And John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. That's the promise. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Just talk to a woman who looked for water because, you know, her physical need. But Jesus told him that he has a spiritual need, and only Jesus, only he can satisfy. Evolution does not care about spirituality. Evolution just care about survival. But in fact, other than the physical need, other than we need food, we need water, we have also a spiritual need as well. Some people choose money to fulfill their needs. Some people choose power. Some people choose career. Some people even choose drug. Yeah. Think about that. We all drive. I mean, some of you has not reached the age of driving yet, but eventually you will drive, right? And each car, you know, has a regular engine, right? We all, unless, you know, if you put the wrong type of fuel, let's say, you know, if your car is used gas, but you put diesel, what happened to that? It will break down, it doesn't work, right? So it will cause serious problem. And this is the reason why so many people are not energized, not satisfied, because they put the wrong fuel into the engine. They use money, they use career, they use drug, they use anything. But instead, you know, they don't understand they have a spiritual need. But if you look at the lens of evolution, then you don't see the need. That's no spiritual need. That's only the physical need, right? And they put the wrong fuel into the engine, right? So the lens of creation, we are created in the image of God. And God installed the spiritual habitats, give us the spiritual need. It is not something that evolved from DNA mutation. That's why Jesus said in John 4:14, and it makes sense, but whoever drinks the water that I give to him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, well up to eternal life. That's a promise. Well up to eternal life. The source of life is also a source of energy for life. The one who created the engine, of course, know what kind of fuel the engine requires. Jesus promised to give us the high-octane fuel, not just any regular fuel. It's a good one. It's a good deed that will satisfy us, energize us, and the fuel will never cease. Allow always in constant supply. Most important, there's no fluctuation in price. How much we pay for gas 10 years ago is 47 cents. How much we pay now? $1.35, right? But in God's world, supplies is constant and it's free, right? No line up, right? So we don't have to wait for the price come down to fill up. Number three, my future is eternalized. My future is eternalized. Prospect is one of our concerns, one of my concerns when we start, you know, looking for work, right? When we start our career, what happened? Right? We always want to join the right company, IBM, Bank of Montreal, T
TD Bank here, right? Royal Bank, right? We want to join, you know, the big tech company, Amazon, right? And then Google. But the Bible says that when the times we have to reach the fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Let me read to you. When the times we have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That's in Ephesians chapter 1:10. One day time will stop. History will close its last chapter. And that's when the big creation project is at its climax. It is also the beginning of eternity and the celebration start. But for the meantime, the CEOs, the president of the universe, is assembling the dream team for the big project that he has created. And he has a role for all of us here. He has a role for everyone here, as long as willing to join. He wants us to join the team, to be his partner. He wants to be our personal mentor. When the project is done, he will give us a huge paycheck, huge bonus. He will also tell us that the dream team, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master. We all want to be the right company with the right team. But under the lens of evolution, there's no company, there's no team, there's no work. It's a mere survival. We just have to live. We are at the mercy of the natural selection and DNA mutation. There's no future, there's no celebration. But under the lens of creation, we are in the dream team of God. If we're willing to join it, we become a servant, we work together. Our future is guaranteed, and our future is eternalized. When we go to that party that God has prepared, we shall find our seat with our name tag on it. It's our seat, but that's our seat also in the heart, the master seat. If we choose the lens of evolution, we have no choice but sit on the seat, right? And we become the master of ourselves, because if we don't survive, nobody can help us other than ourselves. It sounds like cool, yeah, but a brilliant idea. Especially our culture always teaches us we need to be in control. Yeah, but are we capable? Can we handle it? Can we sit on a chair that we made? If we sit on a chair, we choose to believe that life is just an accident, pure random, pure material. No future, no hope. You can handle your own project, and you satisfy the need of yourself, and then you die. But many of us here choose to come down from that seat and let God be the driver, and we all enjoy the journey. We feel proud of our royal identity. We have decided to join the dream team of God that He has assembled, and accept the stock option that God is giving out. We know the problem of part of the mentorship. We know that. Yeah. That God had designed for us, but with the help of God that we'll overcome it. When the creation project is done, we exercise the stock option. We'll get rich because we're gonna spend time with God forever. Brothers and sisters and friends, it's not a pure accident that you're here this morning. It is God who created us, the God who cares for us. The God who give us a plan and tell us that our identity is dignified because we are all created in the image of God. Our days are energized because God promised to supply us the water that will never run out, that will never run dry. And our future is eternalized because we are in God's team. As a pastor, let me remind you, let me affirm you that life is not a minus accident. Yeah, it's not an accident, but a marvelous incident. Something that's great, something that's wonderful. Life is not a game of directionless survival, but a journey of royal blessing. You can sense it, you can see it, There's a purpose. There's a dream. And we all feel proud because the barrier, we are the barrier of the image of God. So life is not a game of directionless survival, but a journey of royal blessing. And we should feel proud and feel good because we are the barrier of the image of God. Let me pray. Dear God, again, we want to give thanks to you for this wonderful morning because you create us, you give us purpose, you give us life, and you give us difficulties as well so that we learn to trust, we learn to overcome. And not for that, I pray for all of us as we walk that journey. As we go through school, that there will be challenges. As we go through work, there will be hard time. And then family, there will be struggle as well. But teach us, they are not mere to survive in all those time, in all those instances. But you want to be our mentor. You want to train us up. You want us to be in your team as we walk the journey. And in the end, we can celebrate this project together with you, Lord, for that I pray. Thank you for this. Listen to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Hey, I forgot to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and God bless you. And for those who are not father yet, work hard. You eventually, you enjoy this identity.